Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. Well, today our guest is John Keeley. Our telephone number will be 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. But please hold your calls unless we ask for calls. But right now, we want to talk a little bit about what happened in France. Recently, we saw massive riots in France among the disillusioned Islamic youth over there. That they have sometimes up to 30% unemployment rate, 15% in the general Muslim population, 30% among many of these youths. Over 6,000 cars burned, buildings burned, churches burned, businesses burned in 200 cities over there. But of course they want to tell us, oh, this wasn't coordinated at all, just spontaneous. And I'm sure they're going to tell us the same thing when it happens here in the United States, when we have 20 million illegal aliens here who have been led to believe that they're entitled to a job, and suddenly there are no jobs here for them. And we're cutting back on the benefits for their free medical care and their free tuition and their free welfare and their subsidized homes that we've been giving these people, that we've been encouraging to come in. So, well, that is the background. John Keeley, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's great to be back with you.
Well, why don't you give us a little of the background of what your thoughts are and what's happening in France. Does that have any application to America? Should we be concerned that we may be facing similar situation here in America one day?
Well, I think absolutely we all should be concerned here in the United States, and we at CIS were concerned enough to convene a panel discussion of this very subject just this past Monday up on Capitol Hill.
Now, what is CIS?
CIS is the Center for Immigration Studies.
Okay.
We are celebrating our 20th anniversary. We're here in Washington, D.C., and we're the nation's only think tank devoted exclusively to the research and critique of U.S. immigration policy, and you know from our previous conversations there's plenty to critique on that front. But boy, oh boy, the stakes are getting higher, and we took a close look at what was going on in France, noting that, first of all, that large-scale Muslim population arrived, by and large, in France via guest worker programs. And Dr. Stan, you know from monitoring the orations of our members of Congress this year and last year, what is on the tip of their tongues when it comes to discussing immigration reform. They like to use the word guest worker and guest worker programs, and it's a very important time to remind all your listeners that our history with guest worker programs and every industrialized country history with guest worker programs succeeded in delivering a permanent immigrant population, not a temporary one. And that population in France now is causing dire, dire trouble.
And, of course, this could be anticipated that would happen, but then a lot of people didn't want to take the more menial jobs. After all, they could get welfare here. So why should they work? They're Americans. Let's bring in people from other countries to do the lesser jobs. Because, of course, the government's going to give it to you whether you work or not.
Well, and of course, France is a very generous welfare state. Most of those European countries are. The example of France and this massive Muslim immigrant population, their numbers there are more than 6 million, reminds us that the sheer numbers do matter. Now, in the United States here, we have a much smaller Muslim immigrant population, probably a little bit less than 2 million now. But we shouldn't take much solace in that. That Muslim population in France has demonstrated aptly for some years now no interest in assimilating into the larger French community. They are not learning French. They are petitioning to have their own sovereignty within France.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with John Keeley of the Center for Immigration Studies. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is John Keeley from the Center for Immigration Studies, which is certainly the premier organization back in Washington, D.C., that is trying to let the American people know that we're on a course to disaster. We have people in Washington, D.C., working at every level of our government, who are violating our own laws and allowing illegal immigration. They could stop it tomorrow. They don't want to stop it. They want to encourage it because, of course, there are going to be, I believe, very serious problems. And, of course, Mr. Keeley was pointing out the similarity between what recently happened over in France, where we saw 12 days of rioting and 6,000 cars burned and the disruption of the economy. And now, of course, they are really under lockdown, curfews, really under almost martial law in many, many cities across the France. And what we can anticipate here is the direct byproduct of insane or perhaps diabolical immigration policies. Anyway, pick up the story there, John.
Well, I mean, I think this phenomenon in France highlights, or gives us an opportunity, rather, to do something proactive, and rather than continue to neglect, to continue the status quo now, which is lawlessness, rampant lawlessness in this country with respect to our borders, and do something and ask some very sober questions so that we don't find ourselves in the position of the French government, which is in a very reactive position where there's chaos literally over the entire country. 300 towns aflame, thousands of cars torched, nursery schools bombed and burned, and individual French citizens attacked. I mean, it is just rampant chaos. And yes, in recent days things have gotten a little bit better, but the experts that we have spoken with suggest that this may be just a lull in the storm.
But of course, at the cost of curfews and the loss of the freedom of all French citizens.
Yes, and the question that I think the French citizens rightly ought to be asking their government is, how did we get in this position? And did it have to happen? And the answer clearly is no. Immigration needs to be regulated, and we need to know who's coming into this country, and we need to know if they have a genuine interest in becoming the new members of our family. Now, we're very lucky in the United States here. By and large, our immigration comes from Latin and Central America, so it's basically Christian migration into a Christian country, largely a Christian country. So we're lucky in that sense. But here's the problem, and this is one of the points that we raised in our panel discussion this past Monday. Over the course of time, as those numbers increase, you know, maybe we're at 12 or 13 or 14 million Latino and Hispanic immigrants now, as those numbers push to 20 million, we are going to see, I think, the same sort of grievance.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John was simply pointing out that in France today, and he has figures suggesting as many 300 of their towns were burned. Of course, I believe that that they could have not handled this thing worse if they'd tried, or maybe they did know what they were doing. But be that as it may, the French citizens now have lost their freedom. They have curfews, marked restrictions on everybody's freedom as they move to a police state to control the violence, of course, that was promoted there. And then, of course, we come back to America. And, of course, here, John's figures are 13 to 14 million illegal immigrants. I was recently given the figure from somebody in the banking industry of 20 million. But whether it's 13 or 14 or 20 million illegal immigrants, we have them here. And, of course, what's John is saying that they had a recent conference just this last Monday at the Committee for Immigration Reform. And, really, what is the basic theme there? That people who know, understand, are concerned about?
Well, one of the biggest concerns that we noted and discussed at length in our symposium was that there is a real tension now within Muslim immigration between the more moderate factions, those who clearly don't advocate or advance a violent agenda, versus the jihadist element. And that is being borne out clearly in France. Right now, we're lucky in the United States. We don't seem to have that jihadist element that is sort of droning out the more peace-minded Muslim immigrant community. But we don't just want to sit back and cross our fingers and hope. We need to have an immigration policy that does something beyond simply admit people and wish them luck once they're here. We need a policy of assimilation. We need the newest members, the newest rivals in this country to profess an affinity for our country. After all, If they don't want to do so, there's no shortage of people around the world who do, and why would we admit those in large numbers from around the world who don't have an interest in becoming Americans one day? Why would we admit those to the exclusion of others from around the world who would?
Well, that is a very, very good question. We find time and time again, we have admitted known terrorists. I mean, Al-Zawahiri was able to come. The reliant Sheikh Rahman, who was a known terrorist, was actually the CIA helped him to get the visa here, at least according to a book written in 1999. And my understanding is, of course, that we're allowing massive amounts of money to be brought into the country from Saudi Arabia to finance people going into our prisons to recruit people into the most radical form of the Muslim faith. And it just doesn't make sense. Have you heard any rumbles at all about that?
Well, I think the point that you're making here is that we really don't have any control over who's coming into this country. The cold, hard reality is anybody who wants to get in can get in. Now, it's clear that we have a large-scale illegal immigration coming from the south over the southern border into California, into Arizona, into Texas, into Mexico. But boy, oh boy, Dr. Stan, 40% of illegal immigration to the United States comes via people who are admitted lawfully on visas in various categories as students and tourists and businessmen and women, and they simply overstay the terms of those visas. And the government, the U.S. government, is powerless to do anything about it.
Well, they're not powerless to do anything about it. They refuse to enforce our laws.
Yes, yeah, well, that's true, too. This is only recently becoming a leading political issue here in Washington, because I really believe, because folks like your listeners are fed up, they're calling, they're bombarding their congressional representatives here in Washington, they're sending emails, they're sending faxes, they're saying, we're not going to put up with it anymore. It's long past due. These politicians have been given a free pass on the lawlessness that has been the conditions of our borders for many, many years. We should never have been in a position where we're talking about tens of millions of illegal aliens. I mean, it's insane, and it necessarily renders us more vulnerable from a national security perspective. But my hope is that finally the politicians are getting the message. But again, all we have so far is promises and orations. We don't have action yet.
But, of course, we hear our president talking about how he wants to do away with all illegal aliens by making them all legal. I mean, what sort of madness is that? Mr. Chertoff of the Office of Homeland Security says we're going to do away with all illegal aliens, but he's not talking about forcing them out of the country or sending them back where they came from. He's talking about modifying our laws to take away. And we've done this before, not at least on one, maybe two occasions. We were promised back in the Reagan administration, we're only going to give all these people who are here illegally. This is the last time it'll ever happen. Trust us. 1986 it was, wasn't it, that they made all the illegals legal, and then now they want to do it again?
That's exactly right. And this is a terribly important point, Dr. Stan. 1986 was the first time the United States government ever attempted a broad amnesty for the millions of illegal aliens in this country. It was very, very controversial. It took fully three sessions of Congress to pass. President Reagan at that time assured the American people it would be a cure-all, a one-time band-aid for our illegal immigration crisis. Here we are, nearly 20 years later. We have not only replaced that illegal alien population of about 3 or 4 million in the mid-1980s, we have quadrupled it, at least. And the lesson to be learned from that experiment is, fool me once, fine, but fool me twice, shame on me. And the American people need to stand up and say no more. We tried that policy approach once. We're not going to have a massive guest worker program, which is euphemism for amnesty for illegal aliens. We are finally going to enforce the laws that are on the books. And the laws on the books are quite clear. If you're in this country illegally, you are to be swiftly and humanely deported in accordance with the law.
Yeah, but, of course, what they do is they pick them up, and they say, well, now we're going to turn you loose, but you got to promise, cross your heart and hope to die, that you'll be back here in 4 weeks for another immigration hearing. And you, can you imagine it, John? Most of them don't show up because they know there'll be no penalty.
Yeah, one of the programs that we have here that our government's carrying out is called the Catch and Release Program. This is literally a program where the Department of Homeland Security apprehends illegal aliens and says, well, we don't have detention space for them, so they're released into the larger American community, and their numbers are literally hundreds of thousands of fugitives running around our country, some of them with felony backgrounds, some of them involved in criminal syndicates, some of them involved with alien gangs. That is the highlight of just how rampant this lawlessness is, how pervasive it is. It is a national phenomenon. It is afflicting scores, countless scores, of American communities. And again, we should never have arrived at this point, but this is where we are, and there, Dr. Stan, there is no more important issue on the domestic agenda.
How could we have done such a poor job unintentionally? The people in Washington, D.C. are not stupid. The people in the White House are not stupid. The people in the Justice Department are not stupid. And yet the average police officer, if he picks up an illegal alien, isn't allowed to turn him into the INS.
Well, let's start at the very top of our government with the current president. This is a president from a border state, the state of Texas. His experience with the immigration issue is very personal. In my office, we really debated this and tried to wonder, why is this president so lax with respect to illegal immigration? I mean, what about the word illegal does he not understand? And the only answer we can come up with is that his experience with Mexican illegal aliens was perhaps in his own home as nannies or landscapers or something, so that he had a viscerally personal experience. And we, of course, have heard him publicly say that compassion doesn't stop at the Rio Grande. That's not a legitimate discourse for a crisis. That is an escape route. And scores of politicians from both parties for many years here in Washington, when asked about our immigration problem, our immigration crisis, say, well, the United States is a nation of immigrants, and they expect the cameras to be turned off and the microphones to be turned off. Well, listen, when we're discussing tax policy, we don't allow our politicians to say, well, we're a nation of taxpayers, next question, please. We have a legitimate debate about flat taxes or sales taxes. If you're discussing education or health care, there are competing policies put forward. When it comes to immigration, we have had absolutely no courage from scores of politicians from both parties. I'm not going to throw everybody in here, because there are some very courageous leaders, including Tom Tancredo of Colorado. But by and large, both parties want to pass on this issue. They don't want to deal with it. They feel like they'll get beaten up by the mainstream media if they simply discuss enforcing immigration laws. But we've got to get beyond that now. We have a situation of chaos, a situation of criminality enveloping our country. It is imperiling us from a national security perspective, and it can't be tolerated anymore.
All right. Now, of course, you're from the Center for Immigration Studies. Do you foresee violence in our community, similar to what we've recently seen in France, developing as we turn into an economic downturn, or should we go to an economic downturn, and suddenly, why are there no jobs for these people? Are there no welfare for these people? They're not going to be able to get free health care. They're not going to be able to get, you know, all the other goodies that you can get here in America. Why, we're even helping them to send money back. The FDIC has recently told the banks to help them send the money out of this country when they're here illegally, giving them, and many of the states will give them passports, will give them driver's license, and of course they're even allowed to buy homes here when they're here illegally, and they're known to be illegal aliens. Is there going to be violence here when we suddenly begin to cut back on all these freebies for them?
Well, I have to answer your question in two ways. First of all, in terms of a forecast of violence perpetrated by a jihadist element within the Muslim immigrant community, I would have to say that that's not going to happen in the near term. But that doesn't mean we should rest easy right now. But
what about the Mexican? Because many of these people are Mexican nationalists who really believe, and there's even articles written by those who support this concept of Aslan, that this is their country and they're going to take it back. And they will certainly utilize the Mexican immigrants as certainly a cannon fodder in their revolution.
Well, here's the problem that we're seeing with Mexican immigration, and this is the more immediate threat, I believe, to the United States. Those numbers are much larger than the number of Muslim immigrants, and they are growing. And that is going to present a problem, and we should discuss that more.
All right, well, we'll get back here in just a moment or two after the break. But our guest today is John Keeley, and he's from the Center for Immigration Studies back in Washington, D.C., and they're a great organization. They've got a great website. We'll get all the information to you. But I think we have to understand that either we have the stupidest people in Washington, D.C., or somebody has an agenda. And that agenda is simply doing away with our sovereignty and merging us into a new world order and a new world religion. We'll be right back here in just a moment. If you've got a better suggestion for what's going on, I'd sure like to hear it. most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is John Keeley from the Center for Immigration Studies back in Washington, D.C., and they are dealing with this problem all the time. This is a very real problem. In France today, the people are living under essentially martial law in many of the cities because they let immigration get out of control. And, of course, then when the violence started, they did not do what they should have done. They did everything wrong. And then, of course, they had to come in with, of course, dictatorial laws to stop the rioting. Now, certainly we have problems. We have our Muslims coming in today. John, do we know whether there are very many Muslims who are sneaking in across our southern border or coming in, you know, legally and then just staying afterwards?
Well, Dr. Stan, we do know that there has been a real spike in illegal immigration from what are called regions of concern to our State Department. The Border Patrol has reported to Congress this year that their apprehensions of what are called OTMs, other than Mexicans, along the southern border of Mexico, has increased precipitously. In fact, just for this year, the numbers are well over 70,000. That's 70,000 illegal aliens basically coming from those regions in the Middle East that the State Department has identified as being nations whose governments sanction or sponsor terrorism.
I know, of course. Do we catch and release those two like we do the salmon?
That's exactly right.
All right. So you have to ask yourself, why would you do that? If we're really involved in a war on terrorism, why would you catch and release people who are coming into this country in violation of our laws from countries that hate us and, of course, would have commit terrible acts of terrorism here? It doesn't make sense.
Well, again, I think the explanation and the responsibility begins all the way at the very top of our government. We have a president currently who doesn't view illegal immigration as a national security threat to any degree. He believes that the men and women that cross our borders illegally are simply coming to improve their lives economically. There is certainly a good deal of truth to that. But the point is, we can't simply close our eyes, cross our fingers, and hope that no troublemakers come in. In fact, coming in through the southern border of Mexico have been members of MS-13. This is an extremely well-organized criminal syndicate numbering in the tens of thousands from El Salvador, whose violence perpetrated in this country, frankly, makes organized crime from Italy a generation or so ago look like a tea party.
You mean it sort of dwarfs the mafia? And yes, we've seen a few programs about this. These are violent people. They get into the prisons. Doesn't matter. They direct what's going on, the murders, the torture, the rape from prison. And, of course, the average American doesn't know about MS-13, but
that's
it's
exactly
very real.
Right. And, Dr. Stan, we have seen very recently reporting that links MS-13 with leaders from Al-Qaeda. And if that doesn't give your listeners pause and gray their hair, I don't know what will.
But, of course, we're not going to hear about that through most things, and I'm really so glad you're bringing these facts out. And you have to ask yourself, this the president you're speaking of, he's the one who promises he's going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. That's why we're going to attack Afghanistan, and maybe he used some of that justification for going to war with Iraq. We've never tried to get Osama bin Laden. If a president will lie to us about one thing, what else will he lie to us about?
You know, and it's also, while we're discussing the president, it's very worth mentioning his reaction to Colorado Congressman Tom Tancredo. And I want to reference him because he is a hero. And we've certainly levied a lot of blame on American politicians, all of it deserved. But there are some heroes. And Tom Tancredo of Colorado, a Republican from Colorado for years, has stood on the floor of the House of Representatives and said, we must gain control over our borders. And for taking that message publicly, loudly, the White House has said, don't dare darken our doors with your message. This is a Republican president saying this to a Republican congressman. This Republican congressman from Colorado simply wants order restored to our borders. He wants integrity to our immigration system. And the reaction of his president in the White House is, don't dare come to my door.
Well, I guess he has a different agenda. How is Congressman Ron Paul doing?
Very well. This is a congressman from Texas. There are about 80 members in the House of Representatives. Not all of them are Republican. Most of them are. But there are some Democrats and one or two independents who have allied themselves with Mr. Tancredo's Immigration Reform Caucus. And what's so interesting about this is they are driving forward a legislative agenda currently that has enforcement at its starting point, and that's what we need now. Not guest worker schemes, not amnesty for illegal immigration, but enforcement of the laws on the books.
Well, of course, we have enforcement of laws. We're supposed to try to capture Osama bin Laden. We've never tried to get him. Portergas was recently at a press briefing, and somebody asked him, where's Osama bin Laden? Do you know? And he said, sure, I know. Next question. And they said, no, where is he? Tell us. Well, we know where it is, but we're not going to try to get him. Diplomatic problems, you understand, and all the complicated reasons why we will never try to get the man who supposedly was behind 9-1-1 that got us into the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Something's wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Something seriously wrong.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Mr. John Keeley, and he's from the Center for Immigration Studies back in Washington, D.C., and this is a think tank back there that's dealing with the immigration issue and trying to come up with some sort of solutions. Now, do you have material that you put out that would be available to our listeners?
Oh, absolutely, and what a perfect time to introduce them to it. Because the panel discussion that we discussed at the very top of the program, we now have a full transcript of it up on our website, which is at www.cis.org. And this discussion, which was televised on C-SPAN Live on Monday morning, the feedback that I have gotten from it, from viewers across the country, has been so supportive. I think if your listeners, Dr. Stan, this weekend can spend just 30 minutes or an hour with this transcript, they will be armed. They will be empowered with the type of analysis of this leading issue that they so need to discuss with their family, with their friends, and then take the message of their concern to their representatives here in Washington.
Well, of course, our good friend Phyllis Schlafly has written some articles about this, this whole program that seems to be carried out, and it is her contention that the people who run things behind the scenes really want to more or less merge America's sovereignty with that of Mexico and Canada and have sort of a common nation here. And this is the reason they're not really enforcing our immigration laws while they're violating them, but then they have a higher calling. Do you think there's any truth to that?
I'm afraid that there's a great deal of truth to that. And, of course, the supporters of that mission aren't going to identify themselves publicly. But it's clear this is what we call a post-American sensibility, the idea that sort of patriotism is passé, that it's a relic of a long discredited era. And that what we need to think about now is a world economy, a borderless climate where goods and people can simply cross with impunity. But goods are different than people. Goods get used up. They have a shelf life. People come to a country and they bring with them values. They bring them with them ideas, and some of the ideas are dangerous. The cultural practices are very different. And it's not just from Muslim countries we're talking about now, but even from Latin and Central America. And we need to return to that model of regulating, moderating our inflow of newcomers to America, keep the numbers manageable, not a million plus a year, but maybe 100,000 or 200,000 a year. Be the most generous nation in the world with respect to immigration, but keep it moderate, because when you do keep it moderate, Dr. Stan, and there's a lot of precedent for this, you allow the absorption of those people into the larger American culture. They don't have strength in numbers that basically, and this is the story of what's going on in France. The numbers are so large that there's no incentive to merge into the French culture.
So you made a remark earlier that these people are asking for their sort of their own sovereignty, a status of a nation within the nation of France?
Well, that's exactly right, and specifically, they're asking for a life under what's called Sharia law, Islamic law, which would negate all French law from this population. Now, people say, well, that's too bad for France. We don't have to worry about that in America. Well, that's not why I'm on your program tonight. I am here to tell you that as the numbers continue to mushroom, and right now it's a problem largely in the American Southwest, where you and your listeners are, That phenomenon of Reconquista that we begin to see, we're seeing increasing radicalization on college campuses. The time to act, the time to discuss our concerns is right now, not when the problem gets out of hand. When your numbers get abnormally, ahistorically large, and you attempt to exert your sovereignty, which is what the French government tried to do the last few weeks, you get resistance. And in the worst case, you get violent resistance. And if we don't get control over our numbers, our immigration numbers, we are breeding a climate for the very type of violence, for the very type of resistance that we're seeing over in Europe.
Well, of course, we have been studying this for a long period of time, and as you begin looking into some of the material, we find the Ford Foundation coming forward. The Ford Foundation financing groups like LULAC and MALDEV and other Mexican nationalist organizations for people who are here in violation of our laws, who are intent upon not becoming American citizens, but actually capturing certain border states from Mexico. Why would the Ford Foundation be doing that? And why, since they are subservient to the Internal Revenue Service, and they're using tax-exempt money, why would they allow them to do that?
Well, I wish I had a satisfactory answer for you, Dr. Stan, but let's start with the premise that they fundamentally embrace that post-American sensibility. They believe that there is some sort of grievance there in the third world that the United States has a moral obligation to address. And I don't share that sensibility at all. I believe that charity begins at home. And that when the day arrives in the United States of America where we don't have homeless, where we don't have American veterans sleeping on streets, then I'll welcome a discussion of bringing in more from the third world. But, you know, this is not the United States is a country of finite resources. We're at a population of 300 million now, and if we think houses are expensive, and if the commute to work is congested, and a host of other concerns associated with a rapid growing population are troubling now, just wait till you see what the Census Bureau tells us is coming down the pike in about 30 or 40 years. Because we have no control.
And, of course, we could have control tomorrow.
Yes.
Certainly the Mexicans control their border. They're guarding the southern border of Mexico, and yet they're doing everything they can to encourage people coming to this country. Jay Leno's recently talked about a poll of the people in Mexico, whether they wanted to come to the United States, and it said that, 60% of the people in Mexico want to immigrate to the United States, and the other 40%, well, they're already in the United States.
Well, yes. Mexico is a country of more than 90 million, and you cite exactly the data that numerous people are now reporting. Tens of millions of that population would come to the United States tomorrow if they could. This is why we need to get a control over our borders. Some of them are simply making that decision and coming anyway. But we have got to do something, because if we don't, we are inviting the same type of strike strife, the same type of ethnic conflict, the same type of pushback against a receiving culture. Why? At what gain? And the most troubling thing here, Dr. Stan, is that the vast majority of the American people, the vast majority, believe, just like you and I do, that there needs to be order and integrity, and that the American culture, the modern American culture that we've achieved, is worth preserving.
Well, I think so, too, in fact, except on Wednesday night on Law and Order, they had a program where they belittled and demonized the people who are trying to stop people from coming into the country illegally, and how effectively they use programs on ABC, CBS, and NBC to demonize people coming in, trying to stop the inflow. They call them vigilantes. In fact, I think people in our president probably call these people these patriot groups, and whether we agree with them or not, the Minutemen, why they call them vigilantes. Now, I understand that there are an awful lot of illegal immigrants, even in the northern states of our country. In other words, they're moving up into Montana and Idaho and up into Washington, and because they'll go any place where there are jobs available.
What is happening now, because we have had a policy of neglect, now in its third decade, unabated, the phenomenon of illegal immigration is no longer contained merely, it's no longer just a California problem, or a Florida problem, or a Texas problem. It's now a North Carolina problem, very much so. It's now a Virginia problem. It's now a Minnesota problem. It's a Michigan problem, and Detroit in particular. So when you don't have any control and you don't have any regard for the integrity of your borders for three decades, you shouldn't be surprised that the phenomenon becomes widespread, that becomes national, and that it's not just border crossers or people overstaying visas, but it's alien gangs who are networking with Al-Qaeda.
And I think that's what's really so important. These are violent Central American gangs, and they are working with the people who hate America. So, and of course, Al-Qaeda would certainly like to get these gangs working here, especially because our government refuses to address them, and our police are afraid of them.
Well, and you mentioned the police, and one of the things in France, the conditions have been so bad there for so long and so out of control that the police refuse to even enter these overwhelmingly Muslim immigrant communities, wouldn't even conduct law enforcement, basic law enforcement activity. The regions were so hostile. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I'm afraid I can, and I'm afraid we're beginning to see the emergence of it in certain portions of the United States.
And I think, of course, we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. And the average American says, well, as long as it's not in my backyard, I'm not going to be worried.
It's not the average American that's saying that, though, Dr. Stan. It is the writers of television programs that you alluded to. It is the editorial writers of big city newspapers. It's the elites, the Chamber of Commerce, President Bush, the politicians. Those people who live in gated communities, whose children aren't in our public schools, they have a see-no-evil, hear-no-evil attitude about rampant illegal immigration. Meanwhile, the vast majority of the country that does have to live with this, with these crises, they are the ones that are up in arms. The men and women in the Minutemen out there in lawn chairs with binoculars and cell phones doing the job that our government should be doing, shaming our federal government for its negligence of our borders. These are common folks. These are rank and file Americans. They are up in arms, but the elites, they are the ones that drown out any sort of concern about this issue, and that has what has led to this inertia here in Washington against reform. But and I don't want to sound too pessimistic, because we've certainly been pessimistic for this discussion. I do see change here. I do see a changed climate in Washington, but we can't rest easy now. You and your listeners you've been such a credit on this issue for so long. Now's the time where we can't sit down and rest. We have got to press forward, because the politicians are beginning to hear the message.
Well, I think that I congratulate you for what you're doing now. I want you to get your website out and your telephone number so people will know how to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. www.cis.org. Dr. Stan, we're terribly small, we're terribly underfunded, but we are making a difference. And the more that your listeners remain engaged on this issue, the better the outcome's going to be. We are going to take back our country. I'm an optimist by nature. I think it's going to happen. So I would encourage your listeners, if they want to learn more about CIS, jump over to our website, drop us an email, just get in touch with us, and we'd be delighted to give as much information as they want.
All right. Now, I want you to get your email out. I want you to get your telephone number out for people.
Yes. JMK, as in John Michael Keeley, at CIS.org. And our phone number here in Washington, 202 866-8185. We are happy to get as many citizens educated on this issue as we possibly can. We're happy to put everyone in touch with grassroots organizations that are mobilizing concern, getting faxes and emails and voicemail messages directed up to Capitol Hill. The change has to come here in Washington. The conditions are so dire on the ground, but if we don't change the hearts and minds here in Washington, Dr. Stan, nothing's going to improve.
Well, I think that people have to understand that we have the most wonderful country in the world, and we're losing that country because, of course, we've allowed people to go to Washington, D.C., who have a different agenda, who have a different worldview, and we've elected people into the executive branch of government, whose loyalty, in my estimation, is not to the United States, but to a globalist dream. Now, and, of course, for those of you who would like to understand the Ford Foundation, why you want to listen to our evening program this evening with Charlotte Isabey, who's going to talk about a study that was done by our government 50 years ago. It was known as the Reese Committee study, and we'll be going into that. You'll be fascinated by that. That's our evening program. Well, you know, certainly I hope, John, that you'll be willing to come back onto our program again. We do have other programs. We have an evening program that hits 30 major stations, and of course, we're small compared with the Rush Limbaughs of the world, but at least we're a voice, and you are certainly an excellent, excellent guest.
Well, I enjoy our visits, and they are important, and they make a difference. I would welcome the next one, and let's make it happen. There's going to be so much happening here in Washington in the next few months, Dr. Stan. We ought to stay in touch, and I'll let you know what's happening.
All right, fine. Now, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners? We've got about 3 minutes before I have to let you go.
I'd have them absolutely get on our website. Let's do it this weekend. We've got a big holiday coming up next week, a national holiday. But before we pause and celebrate, as we all should, our heritage, stop and take a look at the conditions on the ground. We have them well documented at our website, www.cis.org. We had this fabulous panel of experts Monday morning up on Capitol Hill.
Who is there?
Our executive director, Mark Krikorian, joined by Frank Gaffney, head of the Center for Security Policy, and then Stephen Steinlight, one of the most eloquent voices delineating the conditions within Muslim communities around the world. And the full transcript of that panel is available on our website, and it's going to be frightening. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But now that we're having the discussion now, we can do something proactive rather than reactive the way the French government is.
Well, of course, my feeling is that there is a growing resentment towards America in the Muslim communities throughout the world, certainly because of the popularization of what's done to Abu Ghraib, program we have of secret prisons for people that we've captured, whether they're guilty or not, doesn't matter, we torture them anyway. And I don't know how a Christian nation can justify that, and why every minister is not marching on Washington, D.C., to say that if you support torture, we will no longer support you. And yet, most of our mega churches are being simply contacted on a regular basis by Karl Rove and being stroked and mobilizing the Christian population behind what I feel is immoral activity towards the Muslim populations of the world.
Well, and again, that is a policy that is necessarily reactive in nature. And this is why I want the American people so engaged and marshaling their outrage to the politicians, saying, before we really have to get really ugly, before we have to do draconian things like build a 20-foot wall on our southern border with Mexico, before we really have to wall ourselves in to get basic security, how about simply bringing about reasonable admission, reasonable immigration policies that are in keeping with the new and changed world post September 11th. It's a new and changed world. It can't simply be the case that we allow anybody in any numbers. But we don't have many politicians here in Washington that acknowledge that.
Well, of course, over in France, because the people did not take a stand, and then when the violence broke out, the government did everything wrong, did not take action against it until things were totally out of control. Now the French people have really lost their freedom, and I don't know whether it'll be 30 days or 3 or 4 months, they're going to be living in essentially a militarized state. I would hate to think that might happen here in America, in reaction to riots and demonstrations by people who claim that they're entitled to be here, and they're entitled to all the benefits of American citizens.
Yeah, and for the people that we do welcome, and we do want to remain a welcoming country and the most generous country in the world with respect to immigration. But at the same time, we want our new neighbors to become American.
Amen to that. Instead of keeping their separate culture and their separate language. But I think that there, things are being done to encourage this division within our society. In other words, there were terrible efforts to, here in the state of California, to oppose those who wanted English to be taught as the primary language, because they want a bilingual nation, they want a bicultural nation. That way you can play one country against one group against the other. John, it's been great to have you here. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to our next program.
And have great holidays, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. If you really want to understand what this is all about, you must understand that there are people in Washington, D.C. who have a different agenda. They believe in a one-world government and a new world religion. We put together basically my newsletters into three pamphlets called The Occult Hierarchy, Part 1, 2, and 3. Each one is $3.95. You get all three of them for $9.95 plus the cost of postage, but you need to have the information to understand that there are people who have a dedication to this globalist concept, and right now they intend to unite the Northern Hemisphere and then all of the Western Hemisphere and then the whole world under the rule of the Antichrist. Now, they won't admit it's the Antichrist, but of course if you look at their publications, you'll see so often they'll use those letters 666. the World Future Society, with people like Marie Strong, who works with Gorbachev, and Stephen Rockefeller. Their emblem on the World Future Society, until we pointed out, was a circle with three sixes in it. And you will see this number used over and over and over again. The Trilateral Commission, created by Zygmunt Brzezinski, their logo, three intertwining sixes. So they know exactly what this is about. You need to get our material on the occult hierarchy, part 1, 2, and 3. I think you'll find it fascinating, and we want you to read it, and we want you to challenge what we've said, and we want you to join us in this epic struggle. And then, of course, we have our other pamphlets on what happened on 9-1-1, Foreknowledge 1, 2, and 3. We have a pamphlet on We Are a Republic, and you need to understand the difference between a republic. And when the president says we're a democracy, you want to understand this is the idea that comes from the ancient mystery religions. It has nothing to do with America, because our founding fathers said over and over again, we do not want to be a democracy. Democracies always end up in dictatorship. And that's exactly what it's about. We're moving rapidly towards a dictatorship. Our pamphlet on genetic engineering, they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You want to get our great new 4-tape set on the oil deception. I mean, as your electricity rates go up, as your natural gas rate goes up, as your expenses for managing your car and your diesel truck and airlines go up, and of course our airlines are facing bankruptcy because of the increased price of jet fuel. Understand, it's all planned that way. And if you order either my 4-tape set on the oil deception or a new book we're going to be carrying entitled Black Gold Stranglehold, if you order either one of them and ask for our two newsletters, Peak Oil 1 and Peak Oil 2, it'll give you the documentation that you need to understand what's going on today. It's a great scam, but of course, that isn't going to matter, because you're going to have to pay more for your electricity, you're going to have to pay more for your natural gas, and an awful lot of people are going to be impoverished this winter. It's part of a plan to impoverish the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. We have a great 4-tape set on the electricity scam that they pulled back, you know, in about the year 2000, in the name of course, we've got to get the price of electricity down. We've got to deregulate electricity. That was really intended to raise the prices, but they couldn't tell you that any more than they can tell you that the reason that they're not enforcing our laws and, of course, keeping people out of this country illegally is because their dedication is to the New World Order, the New World Religion. So they just don't tell you the truth. If you'd like to get our 4-tape set on the electricity, it's 5 years old, but it's as true today. We have a video on electricity. We even have a syllabus on the electricity crisis, one of the greatest scams of all time, almost as great as the oil deception. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day. And then if you listen to our archive programs, and then you can pull down our newsletters and read the other things we have there, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And there really is another dimension of the people who, with the highest levels of our government, who are tied into secret societies that tap into another dimension. And then please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection till Monday. May the Lord be with you.